Delta 2 into your X-ray, Papa. Yeah, Gary, that's absolutely true. The only decent part about it is that if she does get a seat and she can relax, she can read, she can fall asleep, and she's not going to miss her stop because she's at the end of the line.
Train she takes terminates in Hicksville, because Hicksville has a lot of trains that go beyond it.
No, we live in Jericho. It's actually closer to the Sasa train station. But she always goes to Hicksville, because as you know, it's a major hub and a lot of trains go through there. So she just, you know, anything going west, she jumps on. And she goes all the way to the end of the line. Train ends either in Penn Station or at Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. That's where she goes.
Well, I was talking about the return trip back to Hicksville. I know that all the trains either end up at the Atlantic Terminal, or if she's going to Manhattan, she can grab the subway from there, or at Penn Station. But what happens on the return trip?
Pretty much the same thing, except in reverse. She gets on the train at Atlantic Avenue and just, you know, chills out until she gets to Hicksville, where she picks up her car and comes home.
Yeah, I know people who do that on a regular basis, and since they have a regular train that they take, they know what time it's supposed to get in to, let's say, Hicksville. And what they'll do is they'll set an alarm on either their watch or their phone to wake them up 5 minutes before the arrival time. You can be certain you're not going to sleep past your stop if you do that. The railroad's usually either on time or late. Very rare that it's early.
That's absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, when she started taking the train 2 decades ago, she actually fell asleep on the train coming out, and I had to drive out to Huntington to pick her up.
That's what I mean. Actually, with the newer phones, you could actually set destination and have an alarm go off, if I remember correctly, when you get to that destination by setting up a note. When I get to here, remind me to do this.
That's only happened to her once. Wasn't that bad. I mean, I just had to drive out to Hicksville to Huntington, pick her up, but, you know, it's not a bad thing. You consider the wear and tear on the car, and even with the gas prices being so moderate as they are, you're still overpaying for a gallon of gas. And, fortunately, she doesn't have one of these monstrous gas guzzlers. But, it's just a lot easier for her. You know, she can read, she can work on something for work, she can relax.
I never sat down to actually figure out cost-wise which was cheaper. I don't even know what a Long Island Railroad ticket per month costs nowadays. Because with the number of times I go in a week, it would probably be cheapest to get a monthly ticket going in either 4 or 5 round trips a week.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think a monthly ticket would be perfect. She used to do a monthly ticket, but she does the 10-trip ticket, but she only takes the railroad 2 days a week.
Yeah. I, you know, being parking the car in the city, which I got a good deal on, and gas, the wear and tear, and the toll, I go through the tunnel, so I pay a toll every day. It adds up, but I, as I said, I'm curious if it adds up to be equal to less than the Long Island Railroad financially.
We haven't figured it out with the new gas prices being as moderate as they are. I'm not going to say low because certainly not low. It could be lower. But I'd say maybe a year ago or so, we used to do it every year and figure it out. And even if you bought a monthly commutation ticket, an on-peak monthly ticket, it was cheaper than driving in, parking, fighting our way out. He works in Brooklyn at the foot of the Brooklyn Bridge in an area called Metro Tech. There's no parking on the street. There's no parking anywhere. You got to put it in the garage.
Yeah, well, I've got a similar situation. I'm in Manhattan itself. So I add on to it the toll, and there's not that much parking in Manhattan unless you go into a garage. But I have my ways of finding some on-the-street parking occasionally, and I've got a monthly garage most of the days of the week.
Please tell me you have an easy pass.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. I definitely have easy pass, and they grab 190 at a chunk.
Yes, they do. When I heard what the difference in the price of an easy pass crossing of the, say, Triborough Bridge and cash passing, it was like I couldn't believe it. I was just amazed.
Oh, there's one of my costs. That $190 on the charge card happens at least once a month.
Yeah, when I worked in the city before I retired, I was one of the very, very few, very lucky people, because I had a city car, and the city paid for the gas, and I didn't pay for the tolls, and it worked out really, really well. But, to get one of those things is got to be a close relative of the mayor or something.
Oh, so you had one of those orange easy passes?
Yes, I did. And an unmarked car. So it was, I could park it anywhere I wanted on the street. Didn't matter what the sign said, because it was an official vehicle, and it was great. I mean, you get spoiled. Now when we go in, it's like, wait a minute, I can't park here?
Oh, I have a little bit of on-street parking because of my license plates. In certain areas, I can park where other people can't.
Well, that's either going to be an MD or an NYP license plate, because there's not a lot of other on-street parking that they permit, based upon a license plate. But, Ben, you got something going for you. You need every advantage when you're working Gomorrah on the Hudson.
You look almost perfect. I got a DDS plate. Doesn't give me the privileges of MD, but it does give me some parking privileges, and it's enough so that when I do have to look for on-street parking when I'm working, I have it.
That's really great. I'm glad that worked for you well. Just to park there. I used to get evil looks from people when, no matter what the sign, there's no stopping, no standing, no slowing down, no cappuccino. I just park it and walk away from it, and then, traffic agents would come up, they would look at it, they would look at the sticker in the window, and they would walk away.
Which agency did the sticker come from?
Back in the
which agency, but there was some chance that I could have gotten honorary credentials, including a parking placard from FDNY. That never came through.
Yeah, FDNY, they hoard those things as if they were made of gold. And an official, you know, vehicle placard is considered an upper-level perk in that agency. And they're not likely to just, you know, pass them out. I've had a lot of experience with that agency.
One of the guys I worked with asked me, did I have any, and if I did, what was my involvement in 9/11? And I told him what my involvement was, that I might actually qualify. And he was supposed to write a letter to some sort of honorary medical officer or something like that, that they have in the FDNY Association dues, but it wouldn't be, it would be like $50 a year. And with that ID badge and car placard, that would be worth $50 a year.
The only thing better than that is if you had all that stuff and they paid you. But that sounds like a good deal.
Yeah, and if I had the badge in the wallet and I make a mistake, might actually help me out with NYPD.
I think you'd find that the PD probably wouldn't bust your shoes, but the guys with the white hats, the traffic agents, what we call the brownies or the vultures, they don't care. You could park an ambulance and they'll put a ticket on it.
I found that when I did do on-street parking and the occasional time that the car was ticketed, I was parking in a technically no parking zone, if the ticket was written by a patrol officer, they managed to get to write in that box time first observed. And once that's there, there's no way of proving I had, you know, once that's missing, there's no way of proving that I had exceeded the 3-hour limit that I'm allowed and used anything.
Gary, don't think that was a mistake. That was a warning and a courtesy, and that was done on purpose. But the brownies, the vultures, they have these guns that'll come up and they'll take a picture of your registration with the barcode, fingerprints the ticket out, puts it on your car, and you're done.
Yeah, I know, I've seen them do it. The only thing is they have to walk that block twice to get me, legally get me at least.
That's very true, and if they're writing a ticket the old-fashioned way, and it's a white hat, not a police officer, but a traffic agent, you get in the car and drive away, they can't do anything. They can't mail you the ticket. Unlike a police officer who can mail you the ticket, traffic can't do that.
You mean if they're physically writing the ticket while I'm getting in the car, I can just drive away, nothing's going to happen?
That's correct. As long as they don't physically attach the ticket to the vehicle. You know, they're writing the ticket, you get in the car, drive away. Nothing happens. They can't mail you the ticket. It's a violation of the New York State Vehicle and Traffic Law.
Wonder who thought of that one. That's a nice little loophole. You expect they would have the same ability that an officer would have.
Well, they're not police officers, and they're not peace officers. DOT, their uniforms used to be brown, but back in the days of Rudy, he put everybody together. He put the transit PD with the NYPD, and he moved the DOT traffic agents also into the NYPD. You'll notice that their uniform is similar, but their shield is different, the hat is different, and the patches are different. You know, it'll say New York City Police Traffic, not New York City Police Department. And they're civilians, and they don't have the authority to mail you a ticket, to write you a ticket that way.
Oh, I realize they're civilians, they're not police officers, but, you know, if they've got the right to write the ticket, I didn't understand why they wouldn't have the right to mail it. But that's the way the law's set up. Yeah, I remember they rolled a lot of things around during his administration. For example, EMS got folded into FDNY, housing police, and all those separate police agencies got rolled into NYPD. So you look at it, did it help? Maybe.
Gary, one day we're going to sit down and have a beer and discuss that. But no, it didn't help. It's done for other reasons. But anyway, I'm going to let you get on with your morning commute. I hope things are going well. You should be on the Northern State by now, or the Grand Central. Is that correct?
I'm at the Grand Central LIE interchange, which, because of the construction here, is a bottleneck. But once I get through here, it should be clear sailing to the tunnel.
Well, good luck. Have a great Columbus Day. And I hope you have an easy commute.
Okay, nice talking with you. Hopefully at 10 o'clock you don't get hit with too much traffic. 7-3, and be clear.
7-3, Gary. KD2IXP out.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, host, Steve Radio.
Where's your other comrade? He's not here today?
No, I didn't hear him at all.
Trying to think if he told me he was going to be off today. I don't remember. Anyway, this is Gary Twain, so Twain Mobile. Hopeful as well. You sound rested. And I guess we have classes today.
If we don't, I'm going in for nothing.
Yeah. I always thought of this as a school holiday. That's it. Okay. I guess you know your schedule.
Yeah, I know it. And this is a work day. I figured the traffic would be light, so I got an extra 10 minutes sleep laying in bed. But all of a sudden, I'm hitting a bottleneck on the spiral staircase. What's going on? That's that little construction zone.
Yeah, I went through there on Saturday night. I went into the city to see a show. And it was, I can't believe how much traffic there is on a Saturday night heading into the city. I was surprised.
Oh, yeah. So what show did you see?
I saw Beautiful, the Carole King show. It's great.
Yeah, I saw that a while ago. It was a fantastic show. They do a very good job with that. My friend is trying to pick up tickets next month for three couples. I forget what it's called. It's On Your Feet. They have Gloria Estefan.
Oh, okay. I think I saw that in the playbook. Because we were trying to get tickets for China Doll with Al Pacino next. I think that's the next one we're going to see. But they're like twice as much as what the Carole King was. Pricey.
China doll to be less expensive because it's not a musical.
Guess Al Pacino gets paid the big bucks. There was another one with Bruce Willis, I think, but I forgot the name of it. That was the other one we were looking at. I'm not big into musicals, but it was pleasantly satisfying.
All our tapes in Broadway goes to either musical comedy, or comedy. We're not into the straight dramas that much.
I guess comedy drama would be my genre. But it was nice to be back over there. But it sucked driving in. Oh, man. Anyway, that was fun. And yesterday we went to Howie Grimko's show. WF2Q as an exotic car show that's at the Umpercon in Manhasset. You know, it was a beautiful day yesterday, so it was just terrific time. Big crowd. I remember when he started that, he had like, I don't know, 30 cars there. Now he has hundreds of cars. And because of the day, as I said before, hundreds of people, it was great.
Yeah, I know Howie many, many, many years. Better than he knows me, I'll tell you that.
I know him a long time too, but he became an avid AMer over the last 10 years or so, so I know him better through that now. I remember when he was president.
I remember him when he was an instructor at the school.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I told my girlfriend I believe he's retired. I'm sure he's retired.
For the sake of the students, I'm glad he retired from the school.
Oh, boy. Was he worse than Artie, Gorin?
Artie is a pleasure to work with. I've never worked as one of his students, and he is actually a fish out of the water where they got him. But Howie, put it this way, there was one incident where after the argument with the student, Howie ended up on the floor.
Somehow I'm not surprised about that, but okay. I believe you. I know you're a decent judge of character.
I had one minor, and when I say minor, I mean minor run-in with him when I was a student. But I could see the story that goes around as being legit.
All right. Assuming that we're talking about years ago, so, you know, people mellow out. I haven't seen, I told you, I saw Art last year. He came in as an alternate, but that team he was on fell apart. And I haven't seen him this year, and we're down in teams in the Monday Night League. Sizzling out. I never thought I'd ever say on a Monday night.
So, you know, I don't see him on a regular basis. Well, when I do see him, should I tell him you miss him?
Yes. Artie always seemed to have the knack to bowl his best games and best series of the year against me. I'd always be against him. And so you can't get mad at him.
Can't get mad at him for bowling a good game for a change.
But some guys get pissy, but, you know, getting up there. I remember him bowling all the time. He's regular, but he's, you know, getting up there. Now, he's still by you? You still see him?
Yeah, he's still at school. He doesn't work on my floor when I'm there. But our paths cross every once in a while. He pulls me into one of his research projects, so I get some more fodder for my CV.
Okay. Here, send my regards if you like. Tell him we're down to 16 teams. Okay. Yeah, 24 for like 30-something years, and they had a
on the national pastime scale like it used to be. I have never heard teenagers and early 20-year-olds saying on a Saturday, let's go bowling tonight.
Well, I think it was a big chance time, but not even, you know, 7-8 years ago, but it seems to have died down again. Like I said, I've lived through this many times. It goes in cycles. I'll be going past the house that Gary built in a few minutes, if you want to recollect.
Not necessarily. I haven't been back there in many years. Yeah, my brother passes it every once in a while. But no matter.
Right down the street from Pat, uncanny. She lives on 199th, the other side of Hollis Court, you know, on the east side, closer to Frankie Lowe. But it's funny that it's the same street. At least it's funny to me.
Well, if I ever passed by and didn't have to worry about considered a trespasser, I'd go into the backyard and take a look if there's a concrete block still in the ground. It goes down about 2 to 3 feet, about a foot square in diameter. I'll give you one guess what that was for.
To hold up a mast of some type.
My father had a tracked 40-meter antenna mounted on the ground right there. The problem he had, so that my mother didn't scream bloody murder, he was camouflaged by a weeping willow, which prevented him from getting a signal out in one direction.
I don't think the weeping willow is there anymore, correct?
No, that came down in a hurricane while I was still living there.
Windy spot over here. I know that when we've had previous wind storms, they have a lot of trees and branches down in this area because it's open with the park. Speaking of which, yeah, right in front of the house that Gary built right now. Hold on, you want me to hock a loogie over here?
If it makes you feel good, go ahead. I'm a quarter mile from the toll plaza now.
Okay. They found a woman's body in Casino Park. So let me see if it's on Golden and Laburnum. Or Laburnum. That little grassy area or weedy area. So that's kind of like across from the ball field that I play at. And I think it was yesterday. So it happened on Saturday night.
You'll have to tell me more about it later in the week. Going through the toll booth, which means I go Submariner. 73 Steve, engine 6, be clear.
Check it out in the news if you can. Have a good one. Catch you later. KB2N, QM.
at 830 WQVL repeater system.
So, good to hear you. Have a good rest of the day. And we'll catch up with you next time we're out here on the island. W2AEW Mobile.
Doing good. I'm a little late today. Going to work.
watching him, which is actually a treat for us. So, she stays here now. So, we had some conversations. She wasn't running around, and I just got out late. So, you know, the bad part about my having a business is that long hours, but the good part is I can actually move things around some once in a while and make excuses, and that's it. It's only a one-time thing. It's not an every day. If I work for somebody else, I couldn't do that. But then again, I wouldn't be working until 9 o'clock at night.
Thank you.
K60PC. Richard, are you out there? H-O-M-D, 2-E-O, K60PZ, you out there?
AA2TS Mobile listening.
W2BMP, how are you, Rich?
W2BNP, I believe it is Alpha Altitude Tango Sierra Mobile. The name on this end is Bill, Bravo India Lima Lima. Got a good signal. I'm currently in Riverhead, New York, headed west. Back to you.
So sorry about that. I thought you were somebody else. Your signal is clear. You're in my echo link, I guess. I guess I can hear that. And we're in eastern Nassau County.
Okay, very good. I'm coming in through the 147375 machine because I'm all the way out east, just coming back from doing a little fishing. We started early this morning and finished up about 10:30, so I've been on the road for a bit. Got to schlep it back to the home QTA to do a bunch of things and hoping to see the kids in the pool. So hopefully with a little luck I'll make that. Back to you.
Roger that. So the big question is, how'd you do? Did you catch anything?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the fishing was very good. I've been doing this for quite some time, so keep an eye on the wind forecast, keep an eye on the temperature, keep an eye on the fishing report, and the temperature of the water. I fish from a kayak using a fly rod, so you chase the bird action around like a dog, and back and forth. You got to get there, you got to pay your line out, get a couple back casts in, and hopefully shoot some line forward, strip it in, and the idea is to catch a fish. So one false albacore and four fairly big bluefish. It was a lot of fun. Beautiful conditions on the water.
Yeah, roger that. I always wanted to get into fly fishing, and that's stuff that should be done almost to classical music. That's just amazing. That's truly an art form. Congratulations.
Well, definitely an art form when you fly fish for trout, when you freshwater fly fish. There's no doubt about that. You need a lot of finesse, and your form matters tremendously because you don't want to spook the trout. I do that as well. I didn't pick up fly fishing until I was 25, although I've been fishing all my life. I turned 45 in August, so fly fishing for a while now. But when you fly fish in salt water, the fish are not particular about the presentation of the fly. All they want is something that's moving, that's the right size, and roughly the right color. So the idea is just to get it out to them into the middle of the action and move it kind of as fast as you can strip. And these predatory fish, the stripers, the bluefish, you know, the little tuna, will hit anything that moves. So it's much, much easier than fishing for native trout. Back to you.
Well, that sounds like you really know what you're doing. I've seen that. See, I went with a bunch of friends of mine many years ago, fly fishing, freshwater fly fishing. I didn't participate. I was the photographer, but wow, that's just truly is amazing.
Well, I've always said it's a lot of fun, but if you really want to catch fish, if you had to feed yourself, fly fishing would not be the way to go because it just makes it can be difficult, i.e. fishing, harder by using a fly rod as opposed to just, you know, surf casting with a spinner. But, you know, I picked up a four-weight fly rod for fresh water when, you know, about 20 years ago, and what I did was I put a fly on it, cut the hook off, and I would sit in my parents' backyard at the time and just practice casting and throw a baseball hat out, you know, 10, 20, 30 feet, you know, try and land the fly near the baseball hat, have the fly drop first, and then the line fall gracefully behind it. You know, like most things in life, it's primarily practice. I'm sure some people are inherently good at it. I'm probably not one of those people, but you know, if you keep up at anything, you can get good reels. And it's nice to be able to practice, you know, right in your front yard. You don't have to go anywhere else. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. The name on this end is Bill.
Name here is Joe, Whiskey 2, Bravo Mike Papa. I'm the president of Limark, And I think the closest analogy I can put together in my mind is I'm a QRP guy. So you need a lot of finesse when you try to hit somebody QRP. So I'm sure it's not the same, but I have a lot of respect for fly fishermen. As I said, what I saw along with classical music, I could just film that, you know. And anyway, nice talking to you. I'm at my QTH, so congratulations again, and have a great day. Whiskey 2, Bravo, Michael Pa. Have a great day, sir.
Okay, Joe, it's a pleasure meeting you, and you guys have a fine system here. I don't use it that often. I'm usually on HF and not in the car that much in general, but thank you for that. Enjoy what's left of this beautiful day in our part of the world. So W2BMT, AATS, mobile listening, 73.
73, Whiskey 2, Bravo, Mike Papa, we're clear.
AA2NYO, Lower Westchester.
A station ending in NYO, I believe it is. Alpha, Alpha 2, Tango, Sierra Mobile. Let me see, where am I? Just about to get on the Long Island Expressway all the way at the eastern start. The name here is Bill. Back to you.
AA2TSN, this is KA2NYO. Hello there, Bill. Name is Peter. Up here in Lower Westchester, on a lovely, lovely morning with a solid blue sky. Should be outside.
Okay, Peter, very good. You've got a good signal, and that's actually where I'm headed. Well, a little north of Lower Westchester, headed back home, just wrapping up some fishing this morning. And, you know, these days now, they're few and far between. So I'm usually at work, and I miss just about everything. But wanted to make sure I got out today to enjoy the weather and some time on the water. Back to you.
Yes, indeed. We should enjoy these bonus days at this time. Not too cold, not muggy. Should be a high of 70, low 70s today. I work a little later, so get to play a little radio in the morning. I didn't get to go outside too much, at least hang out outside, but hopefully Wednesday. I'm off Wednesday. Maybe, my plan is to spend most of the day outdoors.
Okay, Peter, very good. And it's, you know, you really start to cherish these days. But when you kick the season off, you know, usually I'm running around doing this, doing that, and I'm like, I got plenty of time. The good weather will be here for a while. But when we get into October, you know, I try and stop and smell the roses before they're all gone. I was sitting out on the lawn yesterday at the home QTH with my youngest daughter eating lunch, and it was just idyllic. In fact, if you closed your eyes and just felt the sun on your skin, it felt like a summer day. The sun was that strong, but step into the shade, and it was a little bit. So, Peter, are you headed to work now?
No, Bill, I'm at the home QTH. I leave it around for it. Home QTH here is New Rochelle. Not far from the Bronx, and the city. Close to a park called Glen Island, where I have my QRZ photo. Just taken at Glen Island. That's where the big bands play there at the Glen Island Casino at one time. It's nothing to do with gambling. Even though they call it the casino, the, you know, they run weddings there and other kind of things. So that's where I am. So where's your home, QTH?
AA2TS Mobile. Okay, Peter, I know exactly where you are. And a couple hundred thousand years ago, during the late Paleolithic era, my junior prom was at the Glen Island Harbor Club in a beautiful, beautiful spot. I know quite a few guys that grew up around there and not too far from there. It's a really nice part of the world. I'm lucky enough to boat a little bit. The home QTH is Pleasantville, New York. That's where my wife grew up, and I've been there for the last 15 years or so. We were married in 99, so I just kind of up the line from you a little bit. I'm a huge nature boy, and if I didn't have to make it into Manhattan every day, I'd probably live even farther north, but I've got to make sure that I can digest the commute Monday, Friday. Back to you.
Yeah, well, that's a reasonable commute. That's not too bad at all, Pleasantville to Manhattan. I guess if you do what you have to do, your job is in Manhattan. Yeah, my commute's short. It's like 8 miles one way. I work in the Bronx, so on my road here, I make a right. I follow that road all the way into the Bronx. So, okay, so you were at the prom there at the Glen Island Casino, yeah. So in the area, so I usually, during the summer, I take walks down there, I take the HD with me, and make a couple of loops around the park before I head back. Sometimes I do that in October and November before it gets quite nasty. So I've been in this area a very long time, Bill. I'm not sure I'll be here much longer, though. I'm thinking about some changes. I could be headed a little south. South, I don't mean Virginia or Carolinas, but maybe just across the border into the Bronx for a while until I retire, and then who knows. Is it, I have your call right? Alpha, Alpha 2, Tango Sugar Mike?
No mic, no mic, just Alpha, Alpha 2, Tango Sierra. That's the call.
Okay.